Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We've got a wonderful show lined up for you this evening. Our guest is Heidi Goodrich, and we're going to be talking about psychic healing and self-realization. Now, those who know Heidi well describe her as a person who's truly devoted her life to athletic excellence. And living her life for sports has naturally cultivated a great curiosity and desire to understand the body in movement. And this led Heidi to completing a BA in kinesiology, followed by extensive graduate studies in sports psychology. Now, although her athletic career was filled with much success, she simultaneously dealt with dark seasons of pain that started in childhood and which fostered many emotional challenges as she grew older. And I know from a discussion with Heidi that she describes her life at that time as wonderful and horrible at once for many years. At around 17 years old, she became absolutely committed to studying, reading, and experiencing all of the healing modalities possible because she was determined to find spiritual and emotional freedom. Now, 20 years later, she feels fantastic, the best she's ever felt, and she enjoys helping others to find that same freedom and empowerment in their lives. Now, if you'd like to know more about Heidi's work, I'll give you her website. It's HeidiGoodrich.com. Mm-hmm. But before we get started with Heidi, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Maureen. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Stephen. That was a lovely introduction for your guest.
Thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to the show. And yes, my name is Maureen, and I am an empath, intuitive, psychic, tarologist, all mixed up. And I've been doing this professionally for 25 years, and I love my work, and I'm clairvoyant and all that, all those C's, some of those C's going on. And I do.
Before we get started, you know, sometimes we get tired of making the same decisions over and over, even though they're not the right decisions for us. And we really need to clear out our psychic baggage and redesign our lives.
Okay.
And even those who know that they want to do that, they try different techniques, but
okay,
often struggle to find the strength to take action or to sustain those changes in the longer term. So Heidi's going to be sharing her incredible and exclusive insights into techniques that help us to shift to more positive emotions and to transform challenges and stress. So we'll be talking about how some of our limiting patterns begin in life and how they influence us. So I'm really excited about the show. I want you all to get ready to learn how to forgive, how to release hurt, and become more powerful, because Heidi's got a lot to share, and she's going to help us to evolve towards the kind of strong and confident people that we're meant to be. Her whole focus is on how to help people become their best selves, to reduce confusion and drama, and to create more fun, more meaningful and exciting experiences in life. So Heidi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here, Heidi. I was explaining to our listeners that I had the great opportunity to attend one of your programs recently, and although I've done a huge amount of work on myself over the years, I learned so much, so I've got lots of questions for you. I hope you're raring to go.
I'm excited. Bring it on.
Great. Well, Heidi, the first question I've got for you is, how can you share with us how humans develop from childhood to adulthood?
Oh, okay. Well, we must understand that as far as behavior is concerned and how you make decisions in life, a lot of that is actually established from the very, very moment that we're born all the way up till around 7 years old. Our brain is actually exists in a specific wavelength that causes us to absorb every ounce of information. It's an incredible, incredible space of development. And just as much amazing and good information goes in, as well as all the negative, limiting belief systems of people that are around us. So I'm just going to specifically address how negative behavior patterns can get established from childhood, and then how that can play a role in the rest of our life, because obviously we want to work on clearing our limiting belief systems and negative patterns. So if you understand how the brain works, that any kind of disruption, and a disruption can be something that is really small, where maybe a kid pushed you at school during recess, to something that is trauma, such as abuse or living in an alcoholic family, that all trauma at that age, all disruption, it exists in an unprocessed state. We don't have the ability at that age to understand what is happening. We don't actually develop our full abstract thinking until we're around 21 or 22 years old. So a lot of what happens in childhood isn't processed out. We're not old enough to understand the dynamics of all of it. So when a disruption or trauma occurs, it also sticks in a state-specific form. So this is where you might see, let's say you're having an argument with your family or with your lover or whatever, and all of a sudden you turn into an argument that looks like two spoiled children arguing. There's no intelligence to it. There's high emotion. There's no resolution. That kind of energy, which is childlike energy, that's an expression of what it means to have traumas that are kind of past memories that are being triggered upon, because when trauma occurs, if it happens at 2 years old, it stays in a two-year-old type of thinking. And so how that will play in adult life is when we start to react to things and we have that child energy that is really big and out of control, or can be the opposite, very quiet and drawn in, that's an example of what it means that state-specific form you're reacting in childlike energy, not adult energy.
So Heidi, does that mean then that an adult may have an innate fear that was formed even when they were a baby that they react to still in adulthood, but they react in a childlike way, or the way in which the child would have reacted?
Exactly. And it can be fears that we watched our parents have fears. Like, let's say your parent was afraid of heights, and you watched your mom or your dad being afraid of heights. You're going to absorb that and make it your own, because they help define your world. They help you know your world. And then you can grow up and definitely be afraid of heights, and not even have any conscious memory that that's where it came from. But there are all kinds of symptoms on a daily basis letting you know what kind of network got established for you in the very, very beginning, all the belief systems. And some of those symptoms are very, very conscious, very obvious symptoms, and a lot of symptoms are very unconscious, where people are not aware that that actually is a very child-wounded type of energy that's controlling you in that moment.
And Heidi, I know that you often talk about this energy, the pain and the fears that we develop in our earlier years and then carry into our later lives. You often describe it as a tar, and you talk about removing tar. And also I remember you talking about an adult having bubbles around them, and some of them being large bubbles of fear or pain. How do we identify those bubbles or that tar, and what do we do with them?
Yes, that's a really good question. Let me just start out by giving my analogy so people understand what the tar is. I imagine that we all come from the same source. So imagine if we all came in as this beautifully, perfectly shaped diamond, and every one of us has different edges cut out and we're in different shapes. And then what happens in life as we start to grow up, especially in the first 7 years, negative belief systems, fears, traumas, disruptions, they end up creating this, I call it tar because it's so sticky, dark, very dense type of energy that gets thrown on top of that diamond. So as we grow older and we become an adult and we now have choice and now we have the mental capacity to understand our life, that the only difference between me or you or anybody else is how much tar did I have on my diamond. And the process, if you want to become clear and connected with spirit and connected with yourself and powerful, the goal is to deal with the tar. And dealing with the tar means you go through a process of healing. And you find out where the tar came from in the first place. What kinds of fears are you investing in that have that much power over you that it's defining you? And then from that space, once you identify, the next thing you've got to do is begin to investigate. Where did it come from? Answer the question why. And then you begin to love yourself through those moments. I have probably over 20 different techniques that I've helped myself in very specific moments to get that tar bubble relationship that I have with it and begin to minimize it and clear it away. And sometimes we can get rid of those right away. And other times when the bigger issues, it's going to take a little bit of time. And how you heal those, everybody has their own process. Everybody is inspired by different people and different methods. So that process I kind of leave up to the person that I'm working with is a creative process for them. I can kind of guide them to that point, but when it comes to really dealing with the deep, thick tar bubbles that they are living with on a daily basis, that is really doing some inside work. Hello?
Is someone there? Is someone left?
Steve?
Sorry, I put my phone, my Skype on mute.
Oh.
I have a great question. So,
it was one to ponder. We're pondering it.
Yeah.
I was allowing you to tune in psychically to my question. But Heidi, this is my question for you. If, can you give us an example of what may happen to a child and how that occurrence may transpire into something that holds them back in adulthood?
Okay, I'll give you an example of one that is a conscious one and then one that is an unconscious one. So let's start with conscious. Let's say that as a child, every time you weren't perfect, that you did something wrong, you broke something, or you didn't get an A plus, so you got something less than that, and you grow up with that kind of parenting, when you get older in life, you're going to find strong tendencies for perfection. You're going to find that when something doesn't work out in your life, that it's this really big reaction in you, have a really hard time with dealing with failure. I like to use, this is called the Subjective Units of Distress Scale, and this is a scale that I learned about from a trauma recovery type of technique in therapy. It's called EMDR, and it's a scale of 1 to 10, and anything that is over a 5, if you react over a 5, then that's letting you know that particular moment, that moment that triggered you over a 5 is just tapping into a network of a bunch of tar that's been established to childhood. If it's a reaction from a 1 to 5, that's a pretty healthy, normal, workable reaction that you can work through pretty quickly. So that's always what I gauge myself by, whether it's dealing with an argument with somebody and I notice that I'm instantly over a 5, the first thing I do is I take responsibility for my reaction. And I go, okay, I'm over a 5 right now. What has just been triggered? So that I can then begin to investigate and go through my process to find out what's causing me to have an overreaction. And understand an overreaction can look really big and loud. You know how people sometimes are really verbally abusive and they vomit all over the person in front of them. Or my tendency is I tend to get absolutely quiet and I disconnect and I become unavailable. So a reaction over a 5 feels like you're out of control on some level. You don't have control over the emotion that you're feeling, that it's this strong emotion that keeps driving you, and it will fester. And sometimes, it may not be big in the beginning, but if you find yourself thinking about the same thing over and over the next couple days, it definitely is over a 5, and it has a little bit of a hold on you. Now, an unconscious kind of activity, I remember reading about this in a sports psychology article, this professional ice skater who was getting ready for the Olympics, and all of a sudden, she wasn't able to land her triple axels. That is one of her best moves, but this one day she couldn't, in practice, she couldn't land it and couldn't land it. And the next day the same thing happened. The next day the same thing happened. She couldn't land her triple axels. So they did everything to try to figure it out and eventually went to a sports psychologist who figured out the cause. That when she was growing up, how her mother would punish her would be to put her in a corner and make her hold out a bowl in front of her body in her hand. She had to sit in the corner and hold a bowl up until her mom said that she could come out of the corner. And sometimes it was many, many hours that she would have to sit in that corner. And so that's what she grew up with. And what happened is the day that she couldn't land a triple axel, she had gotten in an argument with her mother. And that triggered the moment that you have to go up for a triple axel, you have to bring your arms up in front of the body to take you into that jump. So that particular action of bringing the arms up instantly triggered her standing in the corner holding the bowl. Once those sports psychologists identified that for her, instantly it went away and she was able to, they worked in healing it and all that kind of stuff, and she was able to get back to normal.
Well, Heidi, I remember you telling me on one of your programs that when we're learning, let me get this right. You were talking about a person walking down the street And
the five chapter book.
The five, yeah, that's it. Can you explain that to us? Because it's so powerful.
Yes. Oh, I love this because it normalizes all of our process. This is the process that we actually go through in learning. So chapter one, five chapter book. Chapter one, we're walking down the street and we fall into a hole. Understand that the hole is painful, it's uncomfortable, it's our limitations, it's our fears, it's all that fun stuff. So we walk down the street and fall into the hole. Chapter two, we walk down the street, we see the hole, and we fall in anyway. Chapter three, we walk down the street, see the hole, this time we walk around it. Chapter four, we walk across the street. Chapter five, we don't even go down the street at all. So this is definitely the process that we go through from chapter one being unconscious, not aware that that hole is right there, and we walk into something and we experience that pain and how uncomfortable it is. And eventually we get back out. Chapter two, and this is where people get stuck a lot of times in chapter two, they know that hole is there. They know that they're walking into a situation that isn't healthy for them, or they keep designing their life to be chaotic or dramatic, and they do it anyway. And then what happens is they get mad at themselves going, I know better, I shouldn't be doing that. And it creates this cycle to keep people stuck in chapter two. And I found for most people, myself included, once you get to chapter three, where you see the hole, and this time you begin to make different decisions to avoid that chaos or avoid that challenge. Once we get to chapter three, getting to chapter five is a little bit more of a speedy process. Thank goodness. Just an example of that. I know in college, I definitely dated those guys that were the badass kind of guys, the ones that are emotionally unavailable, the ones that all the girls always wanted and were never available. And so the first time I had that experience, I was on chapter one and I went, oh my gosh, this is awful. This is not a fun dating experience. And then I got to, so now I'm aware. Now I'm exactly aware of what that feels like. But chapter two, I know now in chapter two for quite a few years of being very aware of the kind of experiences I was choosing, but I did it anyway. And then once I got to chapter three and I started to pull away from them a little bit, and like I still would talk to them, I might go on one or two dates, but I never really would invest. Chapter four, I still might have a conversation, but that really might be it. I won't give them a date. I won't go out. Chapter five, which I'm at this point, I've been here for a while, there is no interest whatsoever to have that experience ever again.
It's incredible. Now, Heidi, tell us a little more about personality disorders and narcissism versus codependence, for example.
Yes, two very prominent personality types. One personality disorders, if you want to look on the psychology aspect of things, narcissism is meeting your own needs at the expense of somebody else. Codependence is meeting other people's needs at the expense of yourself. So when it comes to relationships, especially intimate relationships, love relationships, then you'll find those two personality types together most often, because you have the codependent who's always serving the narcissist who always wants to be served. So it's actually a dynamic in a relationship that a lot of people live in. And there's nothing wrong with either codependence or narcissism. It's actually very important for having a balance of both characteristics. Narcissistic characteristics are really good because people, when you're in a narcissistic side, you're getting things done, you're creating things. on a codependent side, you're being a lot more relational. So when someone's balanced, they're going to float back and forth between being narcissistic when they need to and then also being codependent when they need to. And that's a healthy balance. But I find a lot of people that are not, they still have a lot of tar around them. They tend to be on either extremely codependent or more on the extreme end of narcissism. And when we're dealing with those types of people, oh, that's a challenge. It definitely is a challenge, and you have to learn to manage those type of relationships versus actually, if you're on the healthier, more balanced side, you can't really expect too much from those people.
And you're very passionate, Heidi, as well, about the difference between judgment and wisdom when we are addressing relationships and even addressing our relationships with ourselves. Can you explain for us how you view judgment versus wisdom?
Knowledge versus wisdom.
I apologize. Okay. Yeah. Knowledge versus wisdom.
Okay. Yeah. So this is actually really fascinating. And when people ask me all the time, why is it that, and this is where we're at chapter two, why is it that I make decisions for myself that I know are not good for me, but I do it anyway? Chapter two. And this is exactly why. It's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just the information that you put into your head. It's the stuff you gather from books, from interviews, from videos you've seen. It's information to help equip you to make better decisions. But we all know that many times that's not enough. If that's all it took, we would be able to change our behaviors and our decisions in a split second. So what happens is what's important, you've got to take that knowledge and shift it deeper into your psyche to where it becomes wisdom. And wisdom is knowledge put into action. And what that would feel like is that there's just a knowing of that knowledge that you have in your head. So let's say I get stood up on a date. Okay, 10 years ago, I would have had a big reaction about it. I would have taken it personally. And even though I know it has nothing to do with me, if you didn't show up, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with me. But in my head, I know that. But how come I'm not reacting like that? If I really believe that, why is my heart hurting? Why do I feel bad about myself? Whereas today, if that were to happen, I could process through something like that so quickly because I know it's more wisdom in me. It's a part of every cell in my body that I am valuable, whether someone decides I am or not. I know I'm valuable. And so that's the process we all have to take, that information that we learn out there and start to make it sink deeper into every cell in our body. And that's definitely a healing process. That means it's taking away the tar. When you take away the tar, you've gained more wisdom. It's lies that don't have authority over you anymore. You're not believing and putting energy, investing into these lies that you learned when you were a child or growing up in your life.
We often love other people more than we actually love ourselves. Can you explain to us how we can gauge our level of self-esteem and how to improve it?
It is so much easier to love other people than it is ourselves. We are so mean to ourselves. It's crazy. We should be so loving, but we're just not. It's not. Well, we have all kinds of tar that we're dealing with. You have to imagine that if you're covered in tar, if your beautiful, amazing light and diamond is covered by tar, how in the world can you access that part of yourself? So low self-esteem is the tar. Low self-esteem cannot exist unless there is some kind of lie that we are believing in, that our child energy is believing in. When you have a reaction over a 5 and you're thinking, I'm never enough, I'm never enough, and then you have your adult energy that's going, yes, you are, but your child energy is a lot more powerful in having influence over you. It's in those very moments that you've got to start to work on techniques to help you connect to and love yourself in the most painful moments. And what most people do is they ignore it. They go, oh, you'll get over it, and hope that time heals everything. But all that does, if you don't deal with your emotions in those moments, your child energy in that moment, it just adds to the tar, adds to it instantly. So now you got thicker, more dense tar on top. So dealing with low self-esteem, I can go over a couple techniques if you want me to that people can instantly do to help connect themselves. Is that a good time for this?
I say yes.
Okay. All right, let's do that. So,
what do you hear?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good.
These are my co-hosts, Maureen and Brenda. Heidi.
Hi there, and Heidi.
They need help. I work with them, and I attend the pre-show calls and the Monday call. And please help them now, Heidi,
okay,
with the technique.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah, we helped you last 2 weeks ago. So yes, we need.
Desperate psychics in need of help.
Yeah, we all need help. It's amazing that we get to help each other. Thank goodness. So if you first understand that every emotion that we have, there is a concurrent need. So if I am feeling fear in the moment, the need that I have is to feel safety. If I am feeling insecure, I need to feel security. If I am feeling inadequate, I need to feel adequate. If I am feeling abandonment, I need to feel connection. If I am feeling sad, I need to feel comfort. And if I am feeling joy, even on the positive side, I need to find someone who is like-minded to experience that joy with me. So if we're... Let's say I have a reaction and I'm feeling inadequate. So what do I need? I need to feel adequate. So what I have people do is I create a list of what I call authentic joy, authentic pleasures. And those are the type of activities that really love yourself, that fill up your soul. And a couple of examples, absolutely get overjoyed getting to go to a flower shop and arrange a bouquet of flowers. And then I get to look at them every day. It's amazingly uplifting for me. You can watch certain movies that are inspiring. You can go on a run. I love to go hiking. So you've got to make a list of what I call authentic pleasures so that when you are over a 5 and you're having reactions of sadness, you need to have a plan of what do you do to provide yourself comfort. And I tell people, and this is very, very important because I have seen this real in relationships over and over, that people become too dependent on other people meeting their needs instead of learning how to meet their own needs. So in this authentic pleasures list, you've got to make sure that you have a good supply of activities and actions that you can do all by yourself that does not require another human being to help you.
Well, Heidi, thank you. I mean, you're fascinating, Heidi. I'm always in awe of how knowledgeable you are. Heidi, we're going to take a short commercial break for about a minute. And then when we come back, I want to ask you about dating because so many of our clients and listeners will love the suggestions you have about understanding people and considering compatibility in dating. So we'll be back to talk about that in just a moment.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, Heidi, well, welcome back. Heidi,
thank you.
Talk to us about dating. I know that you're really passionate about people being empowered and understanding and working on themselves, and particularly looking out for the right people when it comes to dating and partnerships. Talk to us about dating, Heidi. We want to hear what you've got to say.
My very favorite topic. Well, my philosophy on dating and love, essentially, that hopefully we all get to experience, that I help people first create a vision of what kind of love do you want to experience? What does that look like? And I'm absolutely amazed at how many people don't even know the answer to that. They haven't explored that. And it's really hard to know what you're looking for. And even if it's right in front of you, if you haven't really identified what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And once I help them create that really clear vision, the next goal is to then get that person to become that exact vision themselves. Because this is what happens all the time. I can't tell you how many women come up to me and I say, oh, I never can find a guy that is open and vulnerable. And I'm looking at them going, you're not open and vulnerable. They obviously like attracts like. So you have got to vibrate and function and live every breath at that level of love that you are seeking. And everybody's vision of love is going to be very, very different. I have found some amazingly beautiful couples that work so well together. And there's no way in a million years that I could function at that level of love. It's not interesting to me at all. So we all have very different versions of what that looks like. But the goal is to become that vision and live that vision. And until we get to that stage, it's a bunch of experimenting. And really, relationships are my favorite, and dating's my favorite, because there is no better mirror to the inside of who you are than someone who's sitting in front of you. I've dated many different cultures, many different sizes of guys, from super short to super big, just so that I could see what judgments of mine came up, what made me uncomfortable, what brought out the best part in me. And through all the years of trying different experiences on, I finally reached this place where I'm solid now. I don't need to experiment anymore. I know exactly what it is that I want, and I know what it's going to look like. I finally have become that person.
So, Heidi, when you meet somebody, so for example, if a person goes on their first date with somebody, can you share with us some techniques that we can use to really start to understand and see who that person is, even on the first date?
The first date is always really challenging because people are really putting on a show. You're putting forward your best presentation. so you can sell yourself. And the thing that I look for most when I am on a date is, how do I feel when I'm around them? And I tend to be, I know myself really well, so I'm really hypersensitive to even the smallest reactions that I have, because I've spent many years paying attention. So how I feel when I'm in front of them, do I laugh a lot? Do I feel myself pulling back? Do I feel entirely comfortable to just be me? If I start to find myself wanting to sell who I am, that's a red flag for me. That I definitely have had experiences where I have found myself feeling like I somehow have to present this perfect presentation. And then on the other side, I've had experiences where I just got to be myself. And that is mostly what I look for. And I'm going to share one question that I love. This question, because it exposes a lot about the person in front of you. And it's a really fun question. How would you design your perfect morning? You can be anywhere you want in the world. You can have anybody there or nobody there. It's your design, completely 100%. How would you design your perfect morning? Now, you can pick any question you want, but I'm just going to explain the dynamics of what this question brings out. First of all, it tells you how like-minded they are going to be with who you are. And like-mindedness is very important in relationship. You've got to have the foundations between, you know, religious beliefs, how you take care of your body, how you communicate, how you handle stress in the world. Those kinds of things need to be like-minded. It's going to be really hard to stand on a relationship if it's not. So this kind of question exposes, is the person a morning person? When they explain the answer, is somebody there with them, or are they there by themselves? That's going to kind of tell you their mindset of do they see them? Is the perfect morning involving someone they love? They get to wake up to next to someone they love. It can tell you how detailed this person is. I have asked that question, and sometimes I just kind of answer like, I probably just wake up and go surfing. Okay, what time would you wake up?
Just basically,
I don't know,
says,
whenever I woke up.
Basically says they want to be alone.
What?
It basically says they want to be alone, and that they would put their interest first.
Yeah, it says that, but it also says to me, well, they're a very passionate person in life. Like, if you were to ask me about my perfect morning, it would be the story that you would be able to feel my emotion about that experience, that I have an ability to go into detail. Like, I've asked that question to other guys, and they get so excited about that question, and they're like, oh, I would probably do this, and you can hear the excitement. They have an ability to dream, and if you don't have an ability to dream, you get an answer that dreaming takes a level of risk and vulnerability. So I know for me, I'm a huge dreamer. So my kind of answer needs to be like-minded with whoever is answering the question. You know, do they go into detail or do they get irritated? I've had guys instantly go, do I really have to answer that? That's like makes my head hurt. Okay, definitely not a match there. And it's a question that will either open the spirit or quiz the spirit. And that can give you a lot of information about somebody. And it's a good first date question. But most of all, what I really advise people to do, and this is the hardest part on so many levels, is how do you be your most authentic, real self in any given moment, even in embarrassing moments, even in the worst moments? How do you stay with who you are? That no matter what that person chooses that's in front of you, whether they choose you or not choose you, that you stay with yourself. You're lovable and valuable just as you are. And when you can present that, even on the very, very first date, that person can either take it or leave it. And if they grab onto it, then that's going to be something that is going to have more potential for growth versus two people sitting across each other trying to sell each other. It's a very different feeling. It's a very different quality of experience. I tend to, when I'm on a really good date, it's just, I'm peaceful. I'm quiet. I feel very centered. I feel really good about who I am. Versus someone else that I don't connect with as well, I'm finding myself having to look for topics to have to talk about. I'm becoming really highly aware of everything I do, between how I eat to how long is this date going to last, you know, all those kinds of things. So those are things that I look for when I'm having a date, first date, second date, third date.
Heidi, how can we understand certain patterns of behavior in people that we meet? In other words, how do we translate a pattern of behavior into its true underlying meaning when we're observing somebody that we're getting to know?
That is an incredible question, because the only way really to know what's happening in somebody else is to have traveled that journey yourself with inside of yourself. I have the ability to read patterns in people and know people in ways that they don't even know themselves, because I have really done so much work on myself and traveled into very deep places for my healing. And the amazing thing is, we all are kind of the same, that we all have tar. We have tar that is full of rejection. We have tar that's full of abandonment lies. We have tar that is all low self-esteem. So I know when I'm watching someone react, when I'm watching someone say things, it has very specific textures and a feeling about it that I'm like, oh, I know what they're really doing. And I only know it because I've seen it inside myself first. So that essentially, which when you get to that level, it's so amazing. It is so amazing to get to that level to see other people, because when you're in a relationship and you're seeing patterns that they have, you're able to look behind the words that they're passing out to you, and you're able to work with the truth behind all of that. And when you can do that, so much healing can happen, because you can help guide them into a space of truth and connection to who they are, many times without them even realizing that you're doing it. I typically, when I'm looking behind all the words, I'm like, they're not connected to what's really happening in this moment. So I just may start to ask questions out of a tone of curiosity, like, why do you think you might be feeling that? And many times that line of questioning, I can take them a little deeper until finally they're able to connect into the core truth of their behavior pattern. And even when you're in an argument with your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, whatever, that all the words that are coming out, if you have the ability to look behind all the negative energy coming at you, you can stay solid in what the truth is. And when you keep truth at the center of what's happening in that moment, you are definitely empowered to make change and quick resolution versus you reacting with your own ego and letting them trigger you. Learning how to stay with the truth of the moment is one of the most powerful and empowering experiences. Quick resolution, instantly back connected, because truth is at the center.
Heidi, can you give us a couple of quick examples of behaviors and what's driving them. So, for example, if we go on a date with somebody that, or we meet somebody that's consistently late, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Procrastination definitely has been connected to signs of hidden anger. Just to break that down a little bit, procrastinating is, and again, you have to understand that this may be very unconscious for that person, okay? This could definitely be an example of unconscious behavior people aren't connecting to, that it's a part of themselves going, I did not get what I wanted when I grew up. Everybody wanted, nobody paid attention to me, so I'm not going to give other people what they want. So I'm not going to be on time because I know they want me to be on time. And it's a way to constantly create this chaos and this drama. Usually with procrastination, there is a higher addiction to drama and chaos and challenge, that they don't know who they are unless they're in some kind of mess. And that especially is kind of what I call Mount Chaos. It's, if you grew up under a high amount of stress, physiologically, spiritually, and mentally, you are operating at a very, very intense level. Don't think for 1 minute that that just goes away and it disappears. It doesn't. Unless you go and you start to heal and release and forgive. That if you don't go through that, what ends up happening is you very naturally will redesign the same exact life in your adult life, which is a lot of drama, a lot of chaos, a lot of challenge. Because even physiologically, if you were to decrease your stress level, your system will feel absolutely depressed. And that doesn't feel good. So it's all about learning to, I definitely grew up with a really high intense energy. And so I had to retrain myself, and it was so challenging, but highly worth it, to learn to enjoy peace and to laugh a lot more, connect to myself a lot more through looking at behaviors like procrastination, which I was really good at. Being late, I was really good at that.
Heidi, you're amazing. Now, we've got about a minute left, Heidi, and I want to ask you to share with us a list of things we can do to explore ourselves, to heal, to move forward in our lives.
I would say a pretty powerful technique to get in touch with your child energy is called left-right handwriting. And it's where whatever your dominant hand is, you're going to put one pen in that hand, and the other hand you're going to put another pen or the same pen, and you're going to have a conversation between your right and your left hand. The dominant hand represents your adult energy. The other non-dominant hand represents your child energy. And when you have a conversation between both hands, you will be absolutely amazed at the kinds of things that come out. But the moment that that pen goes in your non-dominant hand and your child energy is allowed to speak, you really feel like a child because you can't write. And you write like a child. It connects you to what woundedness is there. What are the feelings that are happening about that moment? And then when you connect with that side of yourself, the part that hasn't healed, the part where the trauma was stored at 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, when you connect, the most important thing you can do for yourself in that moment is wrap your arms around that energy, that child energy. Love it. Don't judge it. Don't push it away and try to hide it. Embrace it. Get to know it. And then integrate it into who you are. Embrace it. And that will help heal a lot of that energy, and you become a part of it versus separate.
Well, Heidi, I want to thank you for sharing all of your incredible wisdom and the specific actions that we can take to understand ourselves and become more fully integrated in life. And You're just amazing. I'm so grateful that you've joined us, Heidi. I've got huge respect for your work. And we all want to say a big, big thank you to you for taking the time to be with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
It's wonderful, Heidi. Well, thank you so much. It was wonderful. And we'll definitely want you back on the show. So look out for our call.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Heidi. What a brilliant show. Guys, if you would like to learn more about Heidi's work, then I really encourage you to visit her website. It's HeidiGoodrich.com. And remember as well that you can always go to the PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com website and learn about our guests, and Heidi will have a profile there as well. Now, I'd like to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number later on, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week about acupuncture, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as all of the archives for our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com on the archives tab. Please do feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our objective is to reach out to as many people as possible, so go ahead and share those links. Now, be sure as well to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can get a huge amount of information, all free of charge, from paranormal investigation to reincarnation, psychic development, etc. Now, if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested, and they each offer their unique gifts. There are detailed profiles on the web. Find out about them and choose the psychic that you feel most drawn to. I want to say briefly, it's a great honor to work with Psychic Access and with Doug, who has very high standards, and work with him closely, and I'm always very impressed with the way that Psychic Access operates. Now, the co-hosts on our radio show, PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, are also with Psychic Access, so if you would like a personal reading from one of us, just visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have your own website and you'd like to generate income referring customers to Psychic Access, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. You can earn 50 cents a minute on readings that you refer through to Psychic Access. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and to listen in to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's a lot for everybody to benefit from, so spread the word for us. We really appreciate it. Now, before we move on to the interaction between the co-hosts, I want to give you the number for later on. If you would like to call for a reading, it is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. Now, Maureen, I heard you make a reference to the lace maker, and I don't know what this is. Can you explain to us what this is about?
Yeah, well, actually, you know how I'm a Union fan. Well, I guess I've been saying that on Steve, you've known for a while. Brenda, I think you've kind of got the grip on my Carl Jung archetypes, you know. Well, first of all, I want to say I was identifying so much with what your guest. I didn't realize the show was going to be so much about what it actually was about, and it was fantastic, Steve, because I identified and I lived through a lot of the things she was talking about. It was ironic. I love that word today. Obviously tonight, ironic. And so the lace maker has a lot to do with doing the same thing over and over again too. And it's like, you know, a spider making the web. And because of how I grew up, and she talked about that, like if you grew up with adult children alcoholics, and what happens, and they're like old tapes that will come about, and it messes up with your adult life when you're older. But the problem is that I am conscious of it. So what we can And I am the typical codependent. I'm the one who also, which is actually, I'm a nice control freak, is what you would call it. I have a hard time saying no. And this is all coming from what I, how I was raised. Dependably and dependable, things were going on. Although there was money, it was hard. And so I took fears into my adult life. For instance, I have a fear of looking, I have a fear of getting my mail out of the mailbox. Sometimes I'll go a month without getting my mail. And I know that comes from so much stuff. So the lace maker has a lot to do with this, the web. So it's almost like the history repeating itself type of thing. It's a loop, a tape loop. And it was even funnier what she spoke about in the relationship situation. I have just backed away completely from that stuff. And she said something interesting, which I find funny, because I would say, any guy would walk by me, I'd say, keep walking because I'll have your head spinning. And she said something. Do you remember what she said? She said she'd be out with someone and she'd say they didn't want to hear really what her real self was all about because their head would spin. Did you hear her say that? I did. Did you guys? Steve, Brenda?
I heard it.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I did.
Yeah. And I've spoken about that before. I think to you guys personally, or Doug, I know personally, about, I just say, keep walking or your head's going to be spinning by the time you stop and try to talk to me. Because I run in a deeper way. And so I become where I don't want to be bothered. And also feeling the old tapes. But the fact of it is, I am wise. And what's more, talking about the, so the lace maker, it's like I am part of the lace. That's archetype. I'm a lace maker. We all do that. But keeping the crazy makers out, like she said, normally, you know, she gave some great stuff to do about being aware of what is going to work. And she did bring up something, and I, again, identified with the fact of feeling needed. And this is a control. This is also being a little bit controlling, but a nice controlling way. But I have a real hard time of, if I'm not feeling needed, then I'm nothing. And I know that stems from the old tapes, loops that have gone on in my childhood. I always wanted to be able to be, that's a codependent. So the lace maker has a lot to do with, you know, instead of, you know, as long as you can drown in the unconscious elements within, you'll be trapped in the unhappy, unsuccessful spiral and web of the lace maker. And I still am challenged by that a lot. But I'm aware of it, so it's even harder because I punish myself for being so aware of it, not doing anything about it. Do you follow me? Because of the work I do.
I think you're being too hard on yourself. A lot of people are too hard on themselves that way.
You're right. They are.
She did mention that too. She mentioned that as well. I mean, you can take it to the nth degree.
That's right.
I think you need to balance it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And that's almost like, in a way, that's part of the dysfunction that you hold from when you were growing up. And it's almost like it's a bad place to stay in, but it's familiar. You're absolutely right. And about self-esteem, we have to relearn self-esteem. And I know that that's been something I've been challenged with. And the work I do, you're right about that, Brenda. And that's why it is a fantastic guest, Steve. Very, very good. And it really brought up a lot of great things for me that
it was very deep. It was very deep.
And I know that she probably is so insightful and knowledgeable because of what her past background has been.
Definitely. Oh yes,
you can. That's why I do the work I do. So, and that's why it breaks my heart when I talk to other people that I know I'm still struggling with it. I can feel it, and I'm not better than it. You know, it's easy for me to say it's not.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I have such enormous two reasons I have enormous respect for Heidi's work. One is she really knows what she's talking about. And the second is the point you alluded to. We're not talking about somebody that had life handed to her on a golden platter and just read a lot of books.
She is, and I
won't go into her personal life, but she is an amazingly strong, resilient woman who has dealt with a lot. And she really speaks from incredible experience.
Yeah, I could tell. That's why I was kind of Budinsky in on you. I didn't mean to, because when everything she started saying, it was like, oh, there's my situation. That's my situation. That's what. And I could tell you only, I only know that someone like that, you know that they've already, their journey has been very, I can identify with it in my, from my life. So there you have it. I hope the lace maker made sense to people, but
it did. It did. Okay. So, absolutely. Well, thank you, Maureen. Yeah, now, Brenda, I know that you've meditated a lot and used meditation as a healing technique. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, she, first of all, I'm kind of with Maureen. The question was kind of a little off, you know, my question was a little off on what she was really speaking about as far as, you know, dealing with it on the earthly plane. But I feel that, you know, it's important because you find out these things about yourself, but there's also your higher self. And your higher self, to me, you know, and just like she was talking, that's who you really are. That's without all the gobbledygook of how you were raised and all the influences and your experiences. But my feeling on this is that, you know, and I've experienced it myself, when I just want to cut to the chase and I want to go, you know, I'm feeling these fears, I'm having these doubts, I need to connect with my higher self that is, you know, not related to any of these things on the earthly plane, to kind of balance me out. And that's why I feel that, you know, I like her, the way she had encapsulated a lot of these methods that she does, and they're very straightforward. I mean, they're workable, and you know, and so in our life we need workable things, and adding meditation to that, to me, would just add a whole other dimension where you can see who you really are, who the pure spirit of your energy is, as opposed to the obstacles that you've had to, you know, overcome. That's what I feel. That's why meditation to me is like, you know, I think everybody, if everybody in the world meditated, we would have a different world.
It's true. You know? It's very true. Absolutely. Really? Well, thank you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Maureen, you often talk about the importance of belonging. Why is a sense of belonging so important to our healing and our happiness in life?
Well, you know, I did do a blog on this. I haven't done many on our blogs, you know, site, and I put my all into that. If anybody's interested, go check it out. It's called Belonging. But, and this again goes from my own raw, I'm being pretty raw about everything I've gone through or who I am. And it's really important to feel that, If you can leave behind, if you weren't feeling like it belonged when you were growing up, belonging in the family structure, and because I came from a very large family, I became emotionally isolated, and it was very difficult. Now, I'm not a victim. I'm not feeling sorry for myself, everybody. It's just, this was my journey. But when you're a kid, and there's, you know, five other kids in the family, and everybody seems to be getting along just fine, and they're pointing at you going, there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong. And she's talking about the perceptions of people, and how I believe she was talking about how, and I was like SpongeBob. I was absorbing anything that was, anybody that had a view on me, I took it as what it was. It was truth, and it wasn't right. So I started not trusting myself. And so, because I didn't belong, I felt I wasn't, I still to this day, I was going, all you people, that's what I call my family. Now, I'm not saying I don't, you know, I don't like my, well, you know, I'm a very family oriented person. I'm very into my family members, more so some of them, but I'm all about family. I really am, but we don't pick our families. However, a sense of belonging when you first get into this world, it comes from the family. And that is something that if that's lacking, it can be hell. It can be total isolation. And also when you're sensitive, you know, Steve, Brenda, you know, I know for me, I can speak for myself, but you guys can understand that, you know, it's not like I read a book, what I want to do when I grow up and be this, doing with the work I'm doing. It was just how it's supposed to be. And we've talked about that before, the three of us. So with that said, it was, I just having a sense of not belonging from a young age. It went into my child. It went into my adulthood, and I was always searching. So what I would do was be. I was like a codependent, and I'd do anything for anybody to the point where I would sacrifice my own self or myself of well-being.
You know, Maureen, it often surprises me how many people fail to mix with people that uplift them. So many people socialize with others that they just don't resonate with. And I feel that, to your point, it's so important that we find our community, that we find our spiritual family, or the people that we can learn from, that we're interested in. It just makes life so much better.
Absolutely.
That is so true.
Yes. And you know, I'll say this. If it wasn't for, you know, I recently, you know, canceled my internet web TV, which I was doing for 2 years. However, if it wasn't for that show, but this show particularly, I would feel extremely lost more than ever, because I do feel a sense of belonging. And when I first, about 24 years ago, got into this work professionally, I thought finally I was going to feel a sense of belonging. And I was delusioned, because it wasn't like that when the people in the late 80s, they were the type of people that were all the new agey-wageys. A lot of them I met, it wasn't like what I thought. And I was again disappointed. And I really was. I was disappointed, because it was like I thought I was going to be embraced. It wasn't like that. It didn't turn out like that for me anyway. And then I backed off, and guess I wasn't. But, you know, really, like with this radio show that we do, I absolutely feel a sense of belonging. Although I've never met any of you in person, there is a sense of belonging. And I feel that that is very important for me to have right now, presently, because it has been so important for me all my life. And there you have it. You know, really, it's very important. And we're colored by our environment, you know, and those are the people. Mm-hmm.
It does make so much difference to mix with like-minded people, people that uplift us, that we can learn from, that will love us.
Exactly. When you're down, they can help pull you up, and they won't judge you. And if goes back, we're teacher, master, teacher, student, master. We go around, you know, how we do. And I really appreciate that. That's why I'll stay on the show.
We enjoy working with you, Maureen.
Well, thank you so much. There you have it.
Now, Brenda, how can we work with our guides and with the angels to heal and to realize our potential?
You know, people ask me all the time if I have a guide or if I have angels, and I think that everybody has their own perception of a spirit energy that's around them, that's on the other, in the other dimension, or in this, I call it the super consciousness, because, you know, our physical body, our emotional body, and our spirit body, you know, they're all interconnected, and they're. When we are in meditation, or when we're, like, if we're giving readings to somebody and we connect with them through many things, the superconscious energy, we connect with them through, like, for me, I feel it's a spirit energy. I don't call it an angel or a spirit guide, although some people may identify it. It's basically the same thing. And these other perspectives, you know, that's why people consult us as psychics, is because they need another perspective. They get so into how they're feeling and their perception of what's going on in a relationship. They need us as channels to that superconscious energy, i.e. the spirit or the spirit guides, to kind of tell them, you know, get them straight and say, hey, you know, you're a wonderful person. You can do anything you want here. You don't have to be stuck in this relationship or this situation. See what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely. And we each have talents. We have gifts that we were born with. You can see it in a person's astrology. You can see it
exactly
when you work with their guides. And we often look at other people and think, oh, you know, I wish I had this talent, or I wish my life was like that. But we're unique, and we're equal, and we it's just a question of tuning into who we truly are, what we're meant to be in the world and getting on that path, even if it starts with some small steps, but actually...
Baby steps.
Yeah, but taking those steps, Brenda, to realize our potential and doing it out of love for ourselves, not because we're judging ourselves or comparing ourselves to others, just acknowledging that we are part of spirit and spirit wants us to be happy, to be healthy, to be fulfilled and to realize our potential in the world.
And everything's a reflection. What we put out is what we get. You know, we can choose to go the downward spiral or we choose to move upwards, develop who we are and self-love, you know?
Just don't do the web stuff and be a spider.
The web, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in the web. Say no to the web.
I mean in the web of Charlotte, okay? So I mean Charlotte's...
not Charlatan the web.
Internet, not the high-speed internet web. There you have it. Again, I say it, Brett.
Again and again.
Again and again.
Well, do listen back to the audio, or the archive. Heidi has so much to share, and she's one of those people that it's worth going back to. I will definitely listen to the show a number of times because the techniques and the wisdom that she shares are really powerful. They're really worth integrating and going through step by step.
Yeah, and in fact, like I said, for me, I can identify what her going through, what her journey was. I'm sure I know that she is absolutely in her true authentic self. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to listen to those archives. I think it's going to help me, me, all about me.
Well, I'm going to take notes because I need, you know, to keep myself. I like to have that kind of order, you know.
And I tell you, there's really those techniques and some of the insights that Heidi shares are extremely powerful for anybody that is working to help other people or that is working to help themselves.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff. Okay, now we're going to start taking some calls. I want to just quickly remind everybody of the telephone number. If you would like to call in for a reading, the telephone number is 724-444-4851. We will keep the calls down to about 5 minutes each because we want to get through as many people as we can and connect with people. And do remember that when you call in, you will go on hold automatically and then you'll be brought through to the show in order. And do give us one question and be clear with your question so that we can really get to it. Now, we do have somebody calling from Orange County, and I'd like you to take that call, please, Brenda.
Hello, Orange County. How can I help you today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm so excited to get through. I tried the last couple of times and wasn't able to, so I was able to tonight. Yay.
Yay. What you need, honey?
I am on a roller coaster ride, as usual, with a special man in my life. And it seems like things have been going good this year, but then last Sunday, I kind of got my feelings hurt about something and kind of wanted to get a little bit of insight as to what I might be able to, you know, what might be going on and what might be in the future.
Okay, well, let's take a look here. First of all, there has been an awful lot of potential between the two of you. It's the type of thing where he goes towards it, then he runs away, and he goes towards it, and then he runs away. but there is this intangible bond between the two of you that keeps you coming back towards each other. I believe that this is the defining year for this relationship. I really do see that. And I feel that there is, you could even this out and the two of you could have a very, you know, one of these, a relationship in which you're not waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, if you express yourself or you say something that you don't think that he takes the wrong way, that he's going to, you know, bug out and run. one of the things that I'm seeing here is that you're going to set the tone, and he's really thinking about your last conversation, your last exchange. And you have to be true to yourself. A lot of your friends are telling you, oh, you know, why do you put up with this, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they're not in your shoes. They can't really judge this. Do you see what I mean? So if your question to me is this worth it? Should I continue on with this relationship? You know, there are things that you, in this relationship, that are going to be revealed to you this year that you have not wanted to see. And these have to do with his fears and things that are holding him back. And I do believe that this is a defining year for the relationship in which, you know, you're going to bring it up and he's going to have to face it. And I don't believe he wants to lose you. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to lose him either. So you say a defining year. I would like to be a defining year in the year that we, you know, make that step and go forward. And I don't, do you by any chance see that happening? Because I'm all in for it myself.
You're ready for the next step, aren't you?
Well, it's been a good, you know, the January was a good month, a good way to start off the new year. And then I kind of thought we were going to hook up after the Super Bowl on Sunday night. And his message to me was, I got something going on. And, of course, that wasn't a good way to word it because it made my imagination go crazy. And so my last thing to him was, bummed, that's not the way I had hoped to end the day. And so, you know, maybe he is thinking about it because I usually don't express my disappointment like I did that night. But I really, you know, I'm hoping to see him tonight. But I never know with him because it seems like he calls the shots. Mainly because
well, you know what? This is the thing. You know, you feel that he's calling the shots. I think you need to let this thing ride because he has been calling the shots, but I see you taking control. The tables have to turn on this. It has to become equal. And right now, you know, there's too much of him, one foot in, one foot out, one foot in, one foot out. But bottom line, if you don't do anything about this and you play it cool, I feel that it won't happen this tonight, you know, but I do believe that by this weekend, there's going to be a lot more curiosity on, you know, why are you acting like this and what's going on here? And you need that because he's been too pulled into himself. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing after the Super Bowl, you know, when I look into it, I don't feel that it's anything to worry about. I feel that it's something that, you know, had to do with him being tired. Maybe he had too much to drink, too much to eat, you know, that type of thing. When's his birthday?
It's coming up March 1st.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
And,
it's a fishy, you know, wishy-washy fishy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have a bad habit of, you know, getting my hopes all up and fantasizing about what could be, and then, you know, I kind of set myself up for disappointment sometimes, I think, but... I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think that you need to look at it in a different way. You know, can he be the one for you? Can he be the one to make you happy? Instead of the other way around. Like, well, what can I do to keep him hanging on?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, cool.
I see that if you roll with this, you'll be surprised.
Him.
Okay?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you just said.
If you roll with this and don't let this bother you, his little, you know, wiggle that he went through, I feel you'll be surprised. I feel that it'll turn around for you.
Cool. Thank you so much.
All right, honey.
Good.
Thank you, Brenda. Now, our next caller is for Maureen, and it's California, Maureen.
Hi, California. Another caller from California. That's great. Hi, California. This is Maureen.
Hi.
Hi. What's your
Amelia.
Name? I'm sorry. What?
Amelia?
Hi, Amelia. How are you?
I'm good. Hey,
I'm
I just
ready.
Wanted to say I've been listening to all of your archive links for a while now, and I really, really have come to appreciate your show and enjoy it. So thank you all for doing this, putting it
well,
on.
Well, thank you for thank you for letting us know. We like that. Thanks, Amelia, very much. Very much. And I saw you in here, yeah. So what would you like me to focus in on for you?
Well, I've started a new business, and I'm wondering if and when it's going to become lucrative, and if I can earn a living from it.
Okay. Well, this is my feeling. I definitely see you've done the right – You were self-imprisoned in this for a while, that you felt you didn't know which way to go with it. Obviously, that has changed. You really liberated yourself. I don't see there's a fear of poverty feeling around you, meaning you're doing okay. There's a lot of commotion. You know, are you still working at all around a group of people, though? And
I had another business that's still going. But I don't. My passion's not with that.
Yeah, so and I think it's for good reasons. I see that it's just it's a mess. Actually, it's a lot of commotion. So why I asked this was because I think soon it just seems like there's a lot of commotion around it, and that's not a good place to be. Ideally, in your mind, be around for your mental attitude. You're absolutely on the right track. There is a somebody. I see a man or a gentleman. Well, he's not so much of a. I see a guy, a man, male figure that looks like he's very aggressive. He has that energy, and not that I'm saying he does this, of a policeman, militant type of energy, and he likes to be telling people, or you maybe, how things should be done. Are you in this business with somebody or anybody else?
No.
Okay. If you get any riff, I guess what I'm trying to say is you have control of where you're heading. I see a complete control of where you're heading. You completely are in charge of your direction, and you're going there's always the yin and the yang. You're going in the best lighted direction. I see you, and the timing is perfect. If anybody comes at you and gives you a feeling, I don't think it's going to bother you, but feeling of like, saying like you know, they know what's better for you to do. That's why I said if you're involved with anybody, this might just be somebody that you know. I was talking about a sense of belonging. You don't need anybody giving you support on what you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing and where you're heading. And I do see absolutely, this is fantastic. You certainly have your personal power intact. You're heading places, and it will be lucrative. And I feel in the next 4 to 5 months, you're going to see some of that happening. I'm not, you know, any business you're involved in is not going to, well, unless you're really in a good place at the right timing, but, you know, it'll take time. I see it moving forward, and I see you harvesting, and it will be very good. And it's like taking an ordinary opportunity that might seem to someone ordinary, but you would be making it great. I see real greatness here. And also, it's a very good thing, victory and goal, that you're reaching on a personal level with this. I take my work personally, for instance. I know you want to have a lucrative business, but it also is a victory within yourself. And there are some positive partners or people that you'll be working with to do projects with that are very good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
And it's fantastic, but you are very capable of what you're doing, and you're very directed. You know how to manifest. People talk about the laws of attraction. You know where you came from. You bring everything down to your physical world. All the elements are there. You have it together. It's really positive. And you should be thinking, I mean, the reading I'm giving you, you already know. I mean, you should be very happy with yourself because you've gotten to this place. And there is commotion around this other work and situation. I think it's only a matter of time you'll be able to be completely out of that. And yeah, you're making the right choice, and it's fantastic. It's really good. You're really doing well. And I see it moving forward in a very nice way and harvesting, not too fast, but it's going to be, yes, fine. And I see other people you connecting with projects or venture, something of making working with them. It's fantastic. Yes, it will be lucrative. This is your thing. This is your deal. This is it. You got it. You're doing it. It's fantastic.
All right. Thank you. Thank you
You're
very
much. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye. Bye, Amelia.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Amelia, and thank you to you, Maureen, as well. That was a great reading. Now, we have a caller from British Columbia, and I'm taking this reading. So who's calling from British Columbia?
Hi, this is Vanessa.
Hello, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, Vanessa. How can I help?
Okay, well, I just wanted to know about my love and career, because I just am having second thoughts about some things, and so I just kind of wanted to see what you could pick up, because I just got over something and want to make sure I'm in the right direction, and, you know,
okay.
I just wanted just confirmation.
Great, Vanessa. Well, my guides are telling me to look at your natal chart. So which month were you born in?
I'm sorry, pardon?
What's your month of birth, Vanessa?
Oh, it's 12-11. So 12 is the month and 11 is the date.
Okay, so 11th of December. Which year?
1983.
83. Okay, now do you know what time you were born?
Pardon?
Do you know what time you were born, Vanessa?
No, I don't know.
Okay, where were you born?
Where was I born?
Yes.
I was born in Canada.
Okay, where in Canada? Which city, Vanessa?
Calgary.
Calgary, okay. So I want to take a look at your natal chart. Okay.
Okay.
You're very interested in self-development, Vanessa. When I look at your chart, I know technically the astrological interpretations, but I get strong intuitive hits. And I feel that you are somebody that's very self-aware, that's very forward-thinking. You love to explore yourself, the psyche. You love to learn, to grow, and to share what you know about self-development and psychological understanding and development. And this is such an important part of who you are. Does this make sense to you?
Kind of, yeah, I guess so. I just have to think about it.
you see, I see this really strongly in your chart. Vanessa, you're an explorer, you're a learner. I mean, you're like a sponge. You just absorb information really easily. And communication's a really good strength of yours as well. You're able to communicate clearly. You're very balanced in the way you view other people, and you're an excellent advisor. You're just a natural advisor, listener, counselor, and also you feel things very deeply. You're creative. You're intuitive, but these are real strengths of yours, and it's so clear in your chart. I see this really clearly, and you're naturally intuitive. Your opportunity or your challenge in life when it comes to your career is really getting together a solid plan and direction, because I see these things really clearly in your chart, but my guides say you haven't got a rigorous plan about your future. And you're one of these people that's, you're very gifted, but you're not playing fully to these strengths, and that's why you're feeling frustrated. And I can tell you as well that I can see from your natal chart that Pluto's moving through your first house into your second house, and Pluto's causing you to really reflect upon who you are. This is really a time of soul searching for you, so you should be in deep self-reflection, considering who you are, what your talents are, what your strengths are, what you want to be in the world. And all of this reflection causes you to consider your relationships with other people as well. But Pluto will move across into your second house, which is work. So you will definitely need to have a clear plan for your career. And now is the time for you to really reflect and agree with yourself what you will do moving forward. And it feels to me very much related to self-development, counseling, psychology, and all of the research and communication that, and potentially education that goes with that. That's what I see in your chart for your career.
Okay.
So reflect on it, because the information in the natal chart's extremely insightful. It's really powerful, but most people go through life not really knowing the information that's contained in there, and they don't necessarily integrate the information into their path. Now, when it comes to relationship, I feel as though there is somebody in your life, or there has been, but you're really reflecting upon that relationship because you're reflecting upon yourself and who you are, and your change. It's not so much that the other person has changed, it's more that your awareness is changing. And if you think of the messages that Heidi was giving us, she was talking about understanding ourselves, being clear what we want in life, and being clear what we expect to get from a relationship. And that's a strong theme with you, because your understanding of what you need from a relationship is evolving dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's really true. And I really agree with that. It's just, I just met like a really great guy, and I don't know, it just didn't work out. And then I had a really great guy and it didn't work out. So now I'm like, what is going on with me?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that's going on with you. My guides are saying that you're a bright girl and you've got a lot to offer. You need a partner that is intellectually strong. You need a partner that is able to interact with you intellectually, that can teach you some things, that can challenge you intellectually, that's almost in the same league, and that is able to support you and encourage you in the work that you want to do in the world. And also, you see, you need a partner that is, on the one hand, deep, that really understands who they are, that's aware of themselves psychologically, but also that's balanced in the way they operate, the way they behave, the way they assert themselves in the world. These are things that you need in a relationship. You're also very drawn to men that are creative. So you're looking for a balance between creativity, self-awareness, a guy who knows what he wants and gets it, that claims you, but also a guy that's strong intellectually and that is able to understand the direction that you will take in life and sharing that with you. You also need a man that is very nurturant and that will want to create a secure and loving home environment with you. Mm-hmm. That's what my guides are saying. So I don't feel you've met the one yet, but I don't feel you need to do anything other than focus on the messages about Pluto and your self-understanding, your defining your direction in the world. And I really encourage you to listen to the show again and to listen not only to everything that Heidi was saying, but to the information about your natal chart, because that information is really clear. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Well, good luck. Okay. Now, we have another caller for Brenda, and the caller's from Georgia.
Hello, Georgia. This is Brenda.
Hi, how
can
you?
I help you? What's going on?
Is this Brenda?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I am here. wanted to see, I'm hopefully waiting on an offer for a job, and I haven't got it yet, so can you see what the hang-up is?
Let's take a peek here. Well, it does look like you're kind of in a holding pattern here. However, you're going to be celebrating this within the next 4 weeks. And I know it's a long time to wait, but that's what I see, because something has happened in which they've taken a step back, and it's not because of you. It has everything to do with what's going on with the company. And it feels like reorganization, or perhaps they're doing something with your role or something of that nature. That's what's going on. But I do see you being offered the job. I do. It's going to be about a month, but I do see an offer of this job. I do.
Wow. So there'll be
How long
no
have you
contact?
Waited?
It's been a week.
You've got, you know, it's you've got another 3 to 4 weeks before there's a definite decision made, but it is before you, and I don't feel that, you know, sometimes when things get very chaotic on their end, it really has nothing to do with you and your interview. See what I mean? That's what I'm seeing. I see the two just not related. Yeah. It feels like this is
so
going to be...
No,
yeah, it'll be offered to you, honey.
All until 3 weeks?
I'm seeing 3 to 4 weeks. It's about a month for and you're actually, you know, have the job in hand. That's what I see. And a man is going to contact you. Did you interview with a man?
The first was a man, and then the second was a woman, which was his boss, so that's why I hesitated on that. So a man first, a woman second.
Well, I feel that the man's going to be the one to contact you. That's what I see. And get in with the offer. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to come back in at all? Or do any testing, or it's just going to be here's the
I don't see testing. I see that you will be doing something over the phone. So it could be like another, like a follow-up kind of interview over the phone. We really like your qualifications. Tell us more about XYZ, that type of thing. And then they'll tell you that they, you know, their decision on this. But it's about 3 to 4 weeks away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank
All
you
right.
very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Brent. And our next call is for Maureen.
Yeah, New Jersey. I love saying that. Hi, New Jersey. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Where do you... How you doing, honey?
Fine.
What do you see for me in the next few months as far as my relationships and job-wise?
Okay. The next few months. So I am getting that you have a relationship with somebody at this time, correct? So
something like that.
Because of the time frame that I have on here, I want to be able to get the best reading possible for you because of the short time I have. So something like that. Well, let me just go on. It looks like your heart's been broken with relationship in regards to interference in a relationship. It's been going on. If you've been involved with someone that's been like things have gone because I know there's some pain. I just feel pain in my heart there's an interference.
I'm recovering. I'm okay now. I mean,
it just feels really
I've moved on.
It was it's very painful. You know, this is about you. I mean, as far as is this the relationship you were asking about, the pain I'm feeling?
No, that's an old relationship.
Okay. Well, you know, if you heard our show tonight, you might want to hear it on the archives because it might be helpful because I feel if this is from the past, which I can understand, it might be carrying over because I do see you said something kind of in a relationship. It looks like I see two people that aren't together recently in the recently go on. They detach, but it's a meaningful experience, but that might be the relationship you were thinking about when you just called here and asked about. But mm-hmm. I do see a sense of fairness, and I think that it's really important, even though I'm not saying you didn't make peace with it, but sometimes things are inside of us, and not inside of us, but they're there, and we're not conscious of it, but there's some pain in your heart, and you might be a little protective, I would be, not knowing that you're doing that. And the relationship that you're having right now may have may suffer because of it. And I'm not saying because you're all because of you. I'm just saying for you to open up. But I do see a sense of fairness and justice. You appear to me like a very you're a very smart woman. You appear successful. You also have a lot of fertility around you. What I mean by that is not just fertility and baby stuff, but fertility of new ideas. And a lot of you're just you, anything that you touch is going to be successful. Anything that you come up with, and you're a fine woman. And the only problem is with you is the only, and I don't see it. The only negative thing that might go on is your expectations are so high that you come, you're just too hard on yourself. So just watch that stuff. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't see you in that that's only a negative way thing, but that's okay because you're good at everything you put your mind to. But right now, you, like I was talking to, Amelia, I think earlier. You as well, like I said to her, your personal power, I'm so happy to talk to women about this, is really intact with anything. Well, you know, when it comes up and it's like and the energy, it's really nice because it's really intact about you have your personal power intact as far as what you want, and you know what you don't want, and you know where you're going because you've made it. I'm not giving you anything you didn't do. This is your reading. It's not mine. So if you thank me, it's really not necessary because you've made it. You bring everything.
I thank you.
Well, no, but it's true. You bring everything into your physical world, and this pertains to relationship and your work situation. You look like anything that you touch, like I said, will be successful. The relationship stuff, I don't know what the end is on the other person. I think that stuff is a little bit more sensitive. However, I think you'll get through it. But I do see a trip delay to some sort. It might be a short trip. It might be in delay, that's all. And I feel that you're really not up for being the beacon light for a lot of people. Maybe I feel in your relationship. You're always – people come to you or people – you're the one that carries a beacon light like a spiritual person. And sometimes that gets lonely, isolating and lonely.
It honestly does.
And if your relationship with this person is like that, I suggest that you detach. It's hard to do, but if you consider the alternative of not doing, the relationship won't change up or shift into another place. You know? There's some negative judgments surrounding some family issues about this relationship. I don't know why. But you're the key to it. About your personal relationships, your work stuff's doing. You're heading in a great direction, but I think it's good that you detach a little bit from being too much of the caring. Like we talked about that on the show, the codependent over the caring, over caring person, and it's not doing them any good. And I think it'd be best for you. And also, it would make the other person be held accountable and step up to the plate. You know. I see some really good things going on, a little bit delays here and there, but very good. Very good.
Thank you so much. Have a good
night.
You're welcome.
Good night, Deborah.
Okay,
the next caller is from Michigan, and I'll take this call. Who's calling from Michigan? Do we have a caller from Michigan?
Hello,
what's your name?
It's Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. How are you? Sarah, can you hear me?
I can now. Sorry about that.
How are you, Sarah?
How old am I?
How are you?
I am 25.
Okay. How are you doing, Sarah?
I could be better.
Okay, well, how can we help?
Basically, I just want to know if I have a successful future ahead of me. I've been suffering for about 6 years from severe anxiety, and basically I don't have a life, and it's very stressful. And I'm just wondering if you guys see it going away or you see me having a good future.
I feel that you've done some good work. This has gone on for, my guides are saying, almost 7 years. Did this originate when you were around 17, 18?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. You can heal yourself from this, Sarah. My guides are saying that you've done some good work, but you've got more work to do. And again, in terms of synchronicity, you've called into the right show, because you need to go back to the root cause of the anxiety. And I feel that it's partly relationship oriented. My guides draw me back to the age of 17, 18, and a relationship that really caused you to doubt yourself, that really lowered your self-esteem, and it really knocked you sideways and caused you to lose sight of your strengths, your beauty, and your path in the world. And my guides are saying that you can repair that damage. You're a very gentle, very loving, supportive girl. And a big part of the message for you is that there is a wonderful future and a wonderful relationship for you. But you need to do that. You need to do work on yourself. You need to love yourself more. You need to love yourself enough to move forward. So my guides are saying you really need to find somebody that you can work with to go back through that experience you had when you were 17, 18 and start to really fully heal from that. The other thing is you need to start socializing, but you need to do it in a gentle way that you're comfortable with. And my guides are saying spiritual development, a spiritual group is the way forward for you. But you need to step out and engage more with like-minded people, people that uplift you, that are supportive, and that you want to be around.
Okay.
Yeah. But there is a good future. If you work on yourself, there's a good future. I'm very drawn to the number four. I feel that you'll marry in the month of April, not April this year. But I do see a great relationship and a great future. I feel that you'll marry in the month of April, and that the month of April will be very important and exciting for you. But this is a time for you to get excited about your healing and creating what you want. So start taking some of those steps. And again, I feel if you'd start to take action soon, that even by the month of this April, you can get a lot of that healing underway.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Wish you lots of luck, Sarah. Okay, the next caller is from Texas, and this is a call for Brenda.
Howdy, Texas. This is Brenda.
Hi,
what
there.
Can I do
how
for you this evening?
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm okay. What's up?
Good. Quick question. I've been in a relationship for almost 4 months. This feels slightly different than any of the others I've been in, but I'm a little hesitant as far as really putting my heart on there, especially because I don't know if the person has the same intentions as I do or if we're on the same page or not. Wondering what your take is on that.
I think you're getting too serious too soon. I feel that you need to enjoy the moment more. And because on his end, he's into the fun and romance right now. And I feel if you go straight, you know, to the seriousness of it, you could spoil some of the momentum and the real special unfolding of this relationship. You know, there's nothing, you can always say, oh, I don't want to do this because I'm going to get hurt. Oh, I don't want to jump because I'm going to get hurt. But I really feel that jumping into this would not hurt you. And you know what? If it does, you can pick yourself up and dust yourself off and move on. Seriously. I don't see hurt around this. I feel it's time to enjoy yourself. I do see that this person is someone that's not going anywhere. There is possibility here, but it's really too soon to be thinking those serious things. I mean, it's only... To him, he's into the fun and romance. That's what I see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just a little cautious, you know, especially because I don't want to get hurt, and I
want this to work out. I really do have feelings for him, but at the same time, I also wonder as far as, you know, what his feelings are, whether or not I am stepping on pretty solid ground or not.
Well, from his point of view, he's enjoying this relationship immensely. And to him, that's the road to his, the road to this man's heart is through, you know, being in the moment, the momentum, the romance. This is a very important part of the relationship. And so, you know, in many ways, he could be on a slightly different page as you. He's not thinking about the seriousness. He just knows he wants to be with you right now.
Okay.
Okay? And you need to enjoy this. It's not that it's going away. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you, Brenda. It was great.
Hang in there. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Now, the next call is from my home state, Tennessee, and that's for you, Maureen.
Hi, and you, Maureen, Tennessee. Thanks, Steve. Hi, Tennessee. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. What's your name, please?
Elizabeth.
Your name?
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. And what can I help you with?
I'm wondering if you can see any marriages in my future. I would love to have, like, a husband and, like, the family thing, but I don't have a boyfriend right now or anything.
That's okay. That's okay. There's some good guys out there. There's some not so good. No offense to the guys listening to this, but okay. And you're what's your birthday? You're at a young age, aren't you? Are you in your 30s? Your late 20s, 30s?
No, I'm in my 20s. Yeah, I'm 23. Okay.
Great, you're a young woman, vibrant young woman. Okay, this is what I'm getting. You know what? I get a feeling that there was something about last March that looked like there was an opportunity to have a new or to restart something that from someone with your past and it didn't work out. Something, but what's sad to me is I'm seeing a woman around you that's draining, that's always having problems. You know. I could be wrong, but what I'm getting is, we talked about this on the show. If you listen to archives, she had a good point. You know, a lot of times we help other people and we enable whatever. I see a woman around you that's always, you know, she has issues with the relationships, blah, blah, poor her. And I just feel that there's energy like her around you. And I think that by you helping somebody or get through, it's always the same thing. It's like, it feels like they're not listening to you, and it brings you down, and you sacrificed your own well-being to pursue any relationship for your state of mind. You've just recently, right now, you're involved in, you've actually gone through a lot of, like not a physical death, but a spiritual death, and now healing can happen. And I feel that your heart's been really, you've had some pain. Painful experience, extremely painful. If anybody from your past I see coming back around, I think that he was good at one time. I see this happening. I do see a person, and it looks like you'll have a choice, but I do feel that you're going to be seeing realistically what he's really about. And bless his heart, he used to be a good, sensitive, honest to goodness, and you could trust, but he's not. He looks like, and I'm not saying he's this, but he appears like a person that would be drinking. I'm not saying he's a drunk or alcoholic, but he's acting like that, and he's a verbally not nice person. And I feel that he has wait, don't get involved. You don't need this. I say that, you know what? There's some other stuff's going on for you. And I do feel along the ways, it will be maybe into the summer that it'll be time for you to be in a healthy relationship. But there's still some stuff hanging around. You're doing fine. But you're also, you need to take care of your healing process of what's gone on in the last 10 years at least. You're in a healing process to start in the beginning, which is hard, but also it's a very good thing too. But your heart is still there's a lot of pain in your heart. But I do see some from your past, and you know what? And then you can get through it, and it'll be done. So I would. You're not going to be alone. But you know what? You don't want. You're going to be doing just fine. I do see very good things for you. But it will be a while. Pardon me?
Okay. I said, great.
Well, it's okay, though. It's okay. You have time. You'd rather not settle for crap. I mean, come on. You know, someone, you deserve, you already know. You've been hurt. You don't need that. You need to be treated with respect and kindness and gentleness. And you need to do that for yourself, treat you the same way too. Okay? And there's some really good financial things coming up for you too. It's really good. Just, you know what, flow with it. You're doing fine, but there's still pain and someone's come back around. Just, you're okay and it will be good. You're going to be fine. And yes, it's better not to want it in anybody. You'll be fine. I have faith. I know you will. Strong and fine. The work's been done. Awesome. You've done a good job. It's hard. Painful. <Yeah. laughs> So I see good things. It's just will be a little bit longer. But that's good. Okay?
All right. That's great to hear. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Lady, you know, we're getting mad. Like, when I be telling them what they don't want to hear, they'd be like, oh.
Thank you, Maureen. Now, the last caller is from Texas. Who's calling from Texas?
You.
Do we have somebody calling from Texas? Okay, well, sounds like the person calling from Texas is not available. So I think we'll move into the end of the show. I think somebody's been waiting there patiently on the telephone and is in the middle of another conversation. But that was a great show.
Yes, it was.
Thank you, fabulous. Thank you both. Yeah, and thank you to Doug as well for all the work you do behind the scenes, Doug, keeping us on track. And thank you to Maureen and Brenda. Now, Brenda, Bobby's hosting the show next week. Can you tell us a little about what Bobby has planned for us?
Well, he's doing a really special show. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, what the heck is this? It's about star seeds, you know, the creative children that are coming up now, and also spiritual visions. And the guest is Lennon Honor. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Great. I'm really looking forward to Bobby's show. And I want to just ask our listeners as well to send healing to Bobby. His son had an unfortunate accident today, and that's why he's not with us. So please do send healing to Bobby's son, and he'll be back with us next week for this great show. I want to say thank you to you, Brenda, for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you for hosting. What a fabulous show, Steve.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to listen to it and learn from Heidi and from your comments as well. I learned a lot from our conversations and the readings. And thank you to you as well, Maureen.
And thank you, Steve, for having a great guest. Really helped me a lot, and I'm going to listen to it as well. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. Wonderful. We love having you in there. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
So have a good week, everyone.
Bye-bye. Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and join us again next week at the same time, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another wonderful show.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.